later. But at this point in time, Justices Frydenberg and Funk will be joining the court. So everybody, please give us a moment to get everybody in and out of the courtroom. And Mr. Krejci, good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan.
You may approach. And do we have anybody here today on the part of the appellees?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
I don't believe so. I don't believe they filed any brief. Do you have any questions before you begin, Mr. Krejci?
No, Your Honor.
Then you may proceed.
Good morning, court. May it please the court. I represent the appellant, Sean Wheelbarger, who also filed a petition for further review after an adverse decision in the Court of Appeals. The petition for further review, I suspect this court may have been interested in the petition for further review because Mr. Wheelbarger is taking issue with the Zippo test for personal jurisdiction. But before getting into that, I did want to focus on the facts that Mr. Wheelbarger also takes issue with. It's our contention that the Court of Appeals and the District Court below did not properly interpret the facts of this case in light of the standard of review for a motion to dismiss for lack of personal jurisdiction that is decided on the pleadings and affidavits, where all inferences must be found in Mr. Wheelbarger's favor. In this case, our complaint alleges that I call them the Michigan defendants, that they were the manufacturer or distributor of software that was installed in Mr. Wheelbarger's vehicles in a repair shop in Kearney, Nebraska. Now, the fact that this has to do with software, it's our contention that really this case should be analyzed like a normal products liability case. If it was engines that were sold as opposed to software, I think maybe both courts below might have decided this case differently. So we allege, and the facts are consistent with essentially a direct sale from the Michigan defendants in Michigan to a repair shop in Kearney, Nebraska, a direct sale that took place for software installed in Mr. Wheelbarger's trucks, as well as this relationship between the repair shop and the Michigan defendants occurred over about a two-year period where the repair shop was ordering the software to install in diesel trucks.
Is there any conflict whether the Michigan defense were middlemen or not?
Well, I'm glad you raised that, Justice, because if it's our position that the Michigan defendants should be viewed as essentially manufacturers or distributors. Mr. Rodriguez's affidavit states that they're essentially middlemen. But if you take the facts in the light most favorable to Mr. Wheelbarger, they should be considered essentially manufacturers or distributors. Mr. Rodriguez's affidavit states that essentially they take the order for the software, they're the first contact, then they essentially, in the light most favorable to Mr. Wheelbarger, I would say that they essentially subcontract out the software design, and then the software is sent to, in this case, Newcomb Diesel, and then the Michigan defendants send an invoice to Newcomb Diesel for their profit and including the costs of the software designer. So I think both courts below erred and got maybe...
What is the legal difference?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a legal difference. The Court of Appeals cited to, I think it was a Florida case, where I think this case would be different if the Michigan defendants, if all they did was they had a website that said, if you're interested in software designers who can do this type of work, call these people. If that's all the Michigan defendants did was essentially advertise on a passive website under the Zippo test, then there would be no personal jurisdiction. But here, if you take the facts in the light most favorable to Mr. Wheelbarger, as we allege in the complaint, the Michigan defendants sold this product. They were the seller under a normal products liability theory and the stream of commerce theory. and there was a direct sale. They knowingly did business in the state of Nebraska over a period of 2 years, and this cause of action
was
arose.
Was that all involving this lawsuit, or is that involving other trucks as well?
My interpretation of the Rodriguez affidavit is that that included other trucks as well, but I'm not particularly sure.
The reason I bring it up, are the other trucks relevant to our decision?
If there were no other trucks, I don't think it should matter, because it's our position that when you have a direct sale where the seller knowingly chooses to do business in the state of Nebraska and makes that decision, then there should be personal jurisdiction. Now, some of the cases talk about the substantial enough connection between the Michigan defendants and the state of Nebraska. If you're thinking about an analysis of whether there's enough, whether, say, one sale would be enough, then I think that those other sales that went into other trucks, not involved in this case, would be relevant.
I'm a little confused about what you claim the product was.
Yes.
Was the software a component part? Was the product the truck? Was the product the software? If you're bringing a strict liability products liability claim, what product do you want us to focus?
The software.
Is that how it was alleged?
In the complaint, I would say so. Our complaint against the Michigan defendants and our allegations in the pleadings is that the software caused the damage. And as far as I know, the Michigan defendants only sold software. I don't know of any.
Did they sell the software to the trucking company or to the plaintiff?
To the repair shop.
So does that make them a supplier or a manufacturer?
I would say.
And does it matter?
Well, one, I actually don't think it matters, because it's our position that when you knowingly do business in the state of Nebraska, whether you're a manufacturer or a supplier, you can be, one, liable under products liability theories of liability, and two, subject to personal jurisdiction in the state of Nebraska.
Your context argument is not based at all upon the website, correct? You would agree that the website was passive.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the website was, but I think both courts were maybe led astray by the facts about the website. As far as I'm concerned, the website isn't particularly relevant to the jurisdictional analysis.
Were the Michigan clients actively soliciting business in Nebraska, or was it the trucking man or the repair shop in Nebraska seeking out the Michigan defendants? Does that matter?
Well, the Rodriguez affidavit is really the only evidence on that point. And in his affidavit, he writes that he believes that the initial contact that his businesses in Michigan had with Newcomb Diesel in Kearney, Nebraska, was by Newcomb Diesel reaching out to the Michigan defendants to see if they could work together. So as far as targeted solicitation to get business in the state of Nebraska before they had any, you know, repeat customers in the state of Nebraska, there's no evidence that the Michigan defendant said, I want to go do business in Nebraska. I need to find customers in Nebraska. But they did find that repeat customer in any event.
Is there any evidence further in that affidavit about what the expectation or the objective was of being at a establishing the website? It's to sell stuff to somebody somewhere.
Well, I don't think that there's anything in the record that says, I started this website because I wanted to. I just don't think there's anything in the record on that point, Your Honor.
If the website's not particularly relevant, wouldn't we just analyze this like we analyze any other minimum contacts, personal jurisdiction case?
Yes.
And if so, what are the facts that you would rely on that there's jurisdiction here? What are the cases you would rely on analyzing this just as a run-of-the-mill two commercial parties in different states interacting with each other, personal jurisdiction case?
Well, the cases that I would most rely on would be, I view this case a lot like Worldwide Volkswagen, in that case, you know, a vehicle sold in a different state is involved in a car accident in Oklahoma, and the defendant in that case had no control over that car going into Oklahoma and had no connection there. On the contrary, in this case, the Michigan defendants purposely chose to do business in the state of Nebraska, and there are quite a few U.S. Supreme Court cases that talk about that, where if you deliberately exploit a state market, you make that decision, then you can reasonably anticipate being hailed into court based on those contacts. And probably the most recent U.S. Supreme Court case that talks about that is the Ford Motor Company case, and that's consistent with a long line of cases going back to Asahi, where if you make the choice to do business in a state, and it's a conscious choice, and it's not something that would be, say, on a passive website, if a customer just ordered a book and the seller had no idea where the customer was from, if you consciously make that choice, which there are facts when viewed in the appellant's, most favorably in the appellant's light, there are facts that show that choice, that the Michigan defendants knew they were doing business in Nebraska.
Are there any pending cases for argument, in other words, where certiorari has been granted in the U.S. Supreme Court that might bear on this issue?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
Thank you.
What facts are you referring to that you say support your position?
I would say one thing that I think maybe both lower courts ignored was the answers to interrogatories answered by Newcomb Diesel, where at that time we didn't know who the manufacturer or distributor was, and we asked, where did you buy this product from? And they said, we bought it from the Michigan defendants. So I think the answers to interrogatories might have been ignored in the lower courts, where they said, we purchased it from them. And then Mr. Rodriguez files his affidavit and states, you know, we've been doing business with Newcomb Diesel for about 2 years. And he explains the process, where he explains it as middlemen, but viewed in the light most favorable to us, I would say that, you know, they are the seller and they might subcontract out some of the work. All right, I see I'm out of time. I just ask that you reverse both courts, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in Will Barger versus Detroit Diesel. Gretchen, you are excused. Thank you. The court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Alpha Wealth Advisors, LLC versus Cook.